Jeff, would you like me to do a roll call?
Yes, please.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the PPSC call of the 1st of December. On the call, we have Jeff Newman, J. Scott Evans, Avery Doria, Tim Ruiz, and for staff, we have myself, Marika Konings. Over to you, Jeff.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman, chair of the PPSC. I appreciate everyone for joining us on a kind of a last minute call before everyone starts to travel out to Cartagena either today, tomorrow, or Friday. Just to remind you all that we do have two sessions scheduled for the Cartagena meeting for the PPSC specifically. The first one is on Saturday. It is a presentation to the GNSO Council on the working group guidelines and the report. And also then on...
What time is that one?
That is local time there, 2 o'clock to 2:45.
Okay, thank you.
And it should be, it's on the GNSO schedule, overall schedule, the Excel spreadsheet that Glenn put out and the one that's posted. And then we have a meeting of just the PPSC on the 5th, which is Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. local time.
Y'all are killing me. That's 6 o'clock again. Jesus. All right. Never mind. I'm sorry.
It's got having his first cup of coffee right now. Sorry about that.
Oh.
So the goal of this meeting today and the goal of the two meetings over the weekend are to finalize. Seems like we have some static there. Are to finalize the working group report. Everything from the PPSC level. And hopefully, and I'll knock on wood here, hopefully get it in a position that we can refer to the council by the council meeting on Wednesday in Cartagena. Not for the council to decide anything on Wednesday, but just to basically report back that they now have it, it's in their hands, and they can do whatever they deem is appropriate at that level starting from Wednesday. Given that... there has been, and I'll just cover this really briefly because I think we've covered this on the email list. There's a presentation that Marika sent around that Avery and Tim and others have commented on that's been revised that is to be used for the presentation to the council on Saturday. Am I correct, Marika, that that's for that purpose?
Yes, that's correct. This is Marika.
Okay. So I'm assuming, or I'll ask the group, are there any additional comments to the ones that have already been raised and already been addressed on the list as far as that presentation? Okay. The only caveat I will put in there is, depending on today's conversation, we may add a few points to that presentation to give them an understanding of where we came to after today's call. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just one note or maybe a word of encouragement, because if people indeed are happy with the presentation, something we've done as well with the PDP work team is maybe members could actually use that presentation with their different constituencies and stakeholder groups as well to give people an overview of what is coming down the pipeline and hopefully identify any issues that might raise concerns, so indeed we avoid situations that have happened in other working groups where people are caught by surprise on certain provisions or certain requirements. So it might be used for other purposes as well.
That's a great point, Marika, and we'll be sure to raise that on Sunday's meeting as well, that they should use the presentation for their own individual groups so that for the purposes that you said. I mean, I think that'll be great. Okay, so with that, and I know a few of you are on Adobe, but some of you may not be. If you are by a computer and can get on Adobe, that'd be great. If not, what's showing up on Adobe really are, we've kind of boiled it down to four different outstanding issues with the working group work team report, or at least four different issues that have been commented on in email. And I'm hoping some of them we could dispense with fairly quickly. Three of them were raised in Tim's email, and one was the subject of emails from myself and Avery on the last issue. So I think the easiest one probably to dispense with was one raised by Tim, which was on the neutrality of the liaison. The PPSC has raised a comment to the work team, the working group work team, about the role of the liaison and neutrality, and the work team had responded with the way that they viewed the role of the liaison being different than the role of the chair. Tim said that his comment was, well, that may reduce the incentive for someone on the council to become a liaison, but in the end, I think you had said, Tim, that that's probably something you could live with, and we'll kind of just see how that affects anyone's volunteering or how it affects the counselor's willingness to volunteer, I should say. That's kind of a fair...
I don't have a problem with it, but like I said, I just think it'll reduce the number of counselors willing to probably volunteer, but I don't have a problem with it.
Can I put my hand up?
Sure.
Okay. Hi. I just wanted to make sure that Tim knew that within the context of this, I think elsewhere in the discussion it gets discussed that the notion of neutrality doesn't mean that the liaison never states an opinion, but rather it means the liaison does not become a champion, an active proponent for anything within the group, and gets so tied up in the championing act that they're no longer available to be the neutral adjudicating role. But certainly the having stated that, oh, the way I see this or the way my constituency or stakeholder group sees this is A, B, C, D, and get that on the record and get that into consideration, I think was always accepted. It's really the attitude of neutrality that means you can't become a champion. And I don't know if that helps at all, but that's really what the idea of neutrality has been. And I think elsewhere in the document, that's kind of laid out, that neutrality doesn't mean you don't have an opinion.
Right. It's very similar to the chair's role at the GNSO.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And I have heard Chuck on many occasions say, you know, I'm the chair, but my personal opinion or my stakeholder group's opinion is...
Right. Well, I appreciate that, and I don't have a problem with it, so.
Okay.
And I'll make sure to explain that.
All right. I think that's good. I think on the next issue we'll go to is, I'll go to the one that we raised on the last call and the one that Aubrey and I had some dialogue back and forth, which is the fourth outstanding issue if you're on Adobe, and that was the addition of the language in the determining level of consensus. This was the addition of a second sentence in the definition of consensus, which said, this is sometimes referred to as rough or near consensus. And I've raised the point, and I confirmed with some of my registry stakeholder group members that this language was something that they had found troubling from the sense of how it implicates the contract, that while the registries understand and agree with the view that the consensus does not mean unanimity. And so as in the first part of the sentence, which says, in the report now, it says that consensus is a position where only a small minority disagrees but most agree. They were fine with that. The issue is the sentence that says this is sometimes just referred to as rough or near consensus. Aubrey had sent an email to the group that said that, it's Aubrey, you got your hand raised. Why don't you explain your position again?
Yeah, I didn't want to rush you. And I just wanted to put my hand up for when you were done. So if you want to...
All right, well, actually, if I can explain it and
yeah,
and,
yeah, I was just getting my hand up. As you noticed, I went up and down three times because I was being awkward with the mouse. So, yeah, please.
Okay. Basically, the way that Aubrey had explained it was that there are a number of groups outside of ICANN where these terms rough and near consensus are used, and that it would help those that are not necessarily familiar with ICANN language, to kind of understand that, to understand the definition of consensus better, you know, it helped them understand it. And then Aubrey had basically supplied some additional language, which she thinks would be acceptable, which was something to the effect of, I don't see it on here, Marika's, let's see. Oh, a footnote that says the terms rough or near consensus are included so that those who are unfamiliar with ICANN usage can associate the definition of consensus with other definitions and terms of art they may be more familiar with. It should be noted that in the case of a GNSO-PDP-originated working group, all reports, especially final reports, must restrict themselves to the term consensus, as this may have legal implications.
Yeah, I can put my hand down.
Okay. Well, my question to you, Aubrey, so keep it up, and I'll ask you the question. Is it possible, would it be more acceptable to you to just, or would it be acceptable to you, to have just the first sentence that says consensus, a position where only a small minority disagrees but most agree, then hang a footnote off of that, and then put your explanatory language in there, as opposed to putting...
Yeah, move the footnote to wherever works. I'm fine. I picked one spot, but I don't really care.
Well, so let me just be clear, though. It's basically a recommendation that does not include that second sentence. You're just having the first sentence that says consensus, a position where only a small minority disagrees but most agree. Drop a footnote, and then in the footnote, you would say the language.
Okay, now I'm confused. Let me look.
Well, tell me what the categories will be, because you got me lost. It's full consensus.
Yeah, this is in the definition of consensus itself.
Right.
The working group work team, you all added a sentence, the second sentence to that. Right? In the definition of consensus, you say this is sometimes just
the
first.
Oh, yeah. I meant for that to be dropped in place of the footnote.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I probably should have said that. I meant for that sentence to be replaced by the footnote I was offering.
Okay, then I think we're fine with that then. I mean, I think the registries, well, I'm hoping the registries will be fine. I will do my best to get them to be fine with it. How about that? Kim, do you think, Marika, sorry, you have a comment?
Yeah, doesn't work. I just have a clarifying question. So that basically would mean as well that the proposed language for the footnote, the first part would need to change because basically it says now the terms rough or near consensus are included.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
So it should basically then read something like a footnote. This is sometimes just referred to as rough or near consensus.
And then the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That would be good.
Yeah, so I'll adapt that sentence so it reads fine and I can include that. Okay.
So, Tim had agreed with, Tim, are you able to follow, I know you're not on Adobe, but are you able to follow this?
I don't have any issue with that as long as, depending on where we're at on the, some of my other concerns.
Okay. All right, so then why don't we consider that as the proposal to present on Sunday to the rest of the steering committee, and then let's go to the other two issues, which are probably take a little bit more time, and I assume this will be still discussed on Sunday, which is Tim's first issue is determining level of consensus. Tim still has some issues with how this is being defined. And let's see. One of the comments that Tim raises is that he believes that to paraphrase it in a different way than reading the whole thing. But essentially, I'll do my best. One of the issues is that Tim would like to see, because of the composition of working groups, how they're different than task forces, there's not an equal number of representatives from different groups, and certainly working groups can be flooded with one type of view or another type of view. One of the issues he'd like to clearly see is that not the ability to have anonymous positions, that any level of at whatever level it is, whether it's full consensus or strong support, whatever it is, that they must indicate specific working group members in support. That anonymous participation seems to be an issue, especially when you don't have this kind of balance necessarily on the work teams or the working groups. So with that issue, I believe, Jay Scott, you all come back and said that you had made some clarifications in this, and do you want to just respond to that?
Well, I mean, I was a neutral chair. I think the person who responded to this should be Avery, because as I remember in our discussions, this is a very big point for Avery.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Avery, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I, as I recall, you were very concerned about the fact of this. I may be misremembering, but as I thought, this was one issue that you were very vocal about.
Yeah, I was pretty vocal. I believe I was on the vocal part of non-secrecy and non, you know, that people should be able to voice their views. But we made the concession that basically said if you were part of a group of something and that there was a general view, that each person didn't have to single themselves out as saying, and I, you know,
right,
bar, do proclaim that I view it this way.
Right. I think that was our
right
point, was is if it was headed towards full consensus, you didn't need everybody to proclaim. But if there were going to be minority views or if there were strong opposition, that those had to be set forth.
Right. And so I was definitely of the view that you couldn't sway, you know, the view of the group without having put yourself on the line and stated who you were and why.
There's some language I see in the report, and I'm looking at...
Well, can you take us to the section you're talking about? Because I've got it in front of me, but I have to apologize. I don't know what section we're in.
Well, I'm on, and this may not be the same place that everybody else is looking at it, but I'm on the red line, which is page 20 of the red line.
Is that what's in our screen at the moment?
I believe it's the red line. I saw comments.
Yeah, it looks like the red line. Okay, page 20.
Well, I'm looking at a printout, so I'm double-checking. No, it's not page 20 on that one. Let's see.
Just give us the section, Jeff.
All right. It is section number... Wow, it's a long section. 3.6.
Okay.
Standard methodology for making decisions.
All right. Hold on. Looks like it... Let me go back.
On page 16 on Adobe Connect.
Yeah.
Where it starts
okay
at 15, goes into 16 and 17.
That's what I thought. That's where I am. Okay. Now
okay,
I'm with
now
you.
I'm looking at a paragraph that's actually below all of the indented, below the small Roman numeral 4 that was added.
Okay, so that's going to be on 16 then.
Right. 17, I think.
Okay.
Which says, based on the working group's needs and or chair discretion, working group participants may request that their name not be associated explicitly with any consensus view position. Is that, Tim, what you were referring to?
Right, yeah.
So there's no real granularity other than that. It just says, based on the working group needs and or chair's discretion, working group participants may request that their name not be associated explicitly with any consensus view slash position.
This is Avery. I don't have hand up, but can I have hand up?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's what that Jay Scott and I were just talking about, that if there's a consensus view, because sometimes people agree to the consensus just by abstaining, just by not making an issue, and may not wish to be explicitly associated but are also not denying it. So that's exactly what we were saying. When it's a consensus position, you basically can go with the flow, you can go with the group, you don't have to raise your flag and say, me too. And that was, you know, and that's why the second sentence is there. If you represent a minority viewpoint, you know, their name should be...
Well, then I think this needs to be rewritten to say that, and this is not very clear. And, Jeff, I
yeah,
more than willing to, over the next couple of days put something together that Marika can throw in the slide for everyone to consider?
Yep. I think that's
okay.
Good.
I think I can achieve what Aubrey's talking about, and I think I agree that that's what we wanted to do. But this has broader implications than that, and I can see where Tim's concerns are coming from.
I don't understand. Can you explain to me? I'm just missing the point.
Well, because it doesn't say that in cases where there is general consensus, the chair may decide not to associate names or something like that. It says that working group participants may request that their name not be associated explicitly with any consensus viewpoint. And I think Tim's position is that if you're in a room and you advocate strongly for something, you can't then at the end have the public record exonerated of your participation and support of it. Everyone should know that you were standing there banding, you know, advocating, and that you were behind this position, and that minutes should reflect that. You shouldn't be able to extricate yourself from your advocacy. And I thought what you were saying was that when there's a general consensus within the group, the chair shouldn't have to go around and say, Aubrey, do you agree? J. Scott, do you agree? Jeff, do you agree? That they can say, like you have done in many meetings I've been in, so I take it now no one has any further comments, and we can say that we have consensus on this point, and the silence is considered ascension, and we move on. There's a big difference in those two things.
Okay.
And I'm not, the language would certainly be put up for everyone to consider, Aubrey.
Okay.
I'm just volunteering to move it forward by putting something up.
I was missing the point of what the issue is. So you're saying that if I was arguing strongly for something, as I sometimes do, I then can't say post facto, hey, guys, I really want you to disassociate me from the stuff I've been arguing
for. That's right.
Okay, no, you're right. I didn't see that as being implied in this sentence, but if others see it as being implied in the sentence, then it must be there.
And I think that's a problem on process, because if I was going to bring an ombudsman's complaint for some reason, saying it was stacked with 400 people and it wasn't evenly done, and you see, if I don't know who was in the room and stuff, that could be a problem. So I think from a process point, it causes problems as well. So I'll try to draft something that does what we intend to do but can't be interpreted to run into Tim's concerns. Is that okay?
Just so we were talking over each other, Aubrey said she to J. Scott, yeah, why don't you do that? I think that sounds right, but let me go to Tim to see if that addresses his concern.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Great. Well, that was good. So I think, was there anything else in point one, Tim, about the determining level of consensus that you had an issue with? So the one I saw was the one I called out, which is the anonymity. But was there anything else in that? Putting aside your next issue is who may question a consensus call. But on the issue of determining level of consensus, do you have anything else you want to raise on that?
No. I'll wait and see what J. Scott comes up with, but it sounds like we got a handle on that, so I'm good.
Great. So now I think is the last issue, which is who may question a consensus call, and Tim has raised the issue that, or the PPSC had raised the issue to the working group work team, and then Tim has followed it up, saying that anyone in the group should be able to raise an issue or to question a consensus call. There are protections in place if someone's being abusive. Their concerns should be heard and looked into, and that act may embolden others to speak up who maybe were too timid or just didn't want to be seen in the forefront to express themselves or uncover problems that were not evident to anyone else. And we really think that the chair of council can tell someone that their concern will more or less be ignored without possibly creating more trouble than it's worth, or that there will never be a situation where they may want to act. And making exceptions to the rule will be difficult and could create nasty situations. So if we could find where in the report it deals with this.
3 point, it's still 3.6. It's just, it's on now page 18.
Okay, page, sorry, you said 18?
18, second paragraph, or actually first full paragraph. It starts, if several participants in a WG disagree.
Right, with the footnote number 5, and is that where the multiple... Okay, so in footnote 5, it says, any working group member may raise an issue for reconsideration. However, a formal appeal will require that the that a single member demonstrates a sufficient amount of support for initiating an appeal before the formal process outlined in 3.7 can be invoked. So, Tim, I'm assuming that's what you're commenting on. And
Maybe the revised language is an intent to solve it, but it sort of puts the onus. It sounds to me like it's putting the onus back on the individual who's raising the concern, when really, in my mind, they should be able to raise the question. The chair should then be required to look into that. And if they can't establish that there's further support. That's one thing. Or if you've got somebody who's just being abusive and they're questioning every call, there's provisions in the rules to deal with abusive behavior. But it seems that in my mind that a single individual should be able to raise the issue, and that in itself, once it's being looked into, may then uncover additional support or issues or concerns, because quite often you have sort of the vocal minority sometimes represents a bigger group than what you might think, but you can't tell that if you just assume that they're the only ones who have a concern since someone else is actively speaking up.
Tim, how about if we change, if I look at this and we do some changing, what we're trying to do is avoid obstructionism. And
right.
So I have no problem, especially I have concerns about non-English speakers and non-aggressive societies, such as some of your Asian societies and your Indian culture, which aren't as aggressive as Western Europe and America and North America. So I would suggest perhaps we do something that says a single individual will contact the chair, and the chair will work with this person to investigate this or something like that, so that the onus is on the chair to drive it forward rather than on the individual.
Yeah, that would definitely help. And I think that in conjunction with, resolving my concerns over the what it seemed to me to be an anonymity issue, but clearly wasn't the intent.
The intent was just to keep gaming from happening.
Right. But that would solve it, because now, if you can't have someone, having an opinion or a viewpoint that's contrary to the group as a whole without being identified, then that's going to help the chair, in being able to determine whether there's support or not.
Yeah. So why don't I look at that and try to suggest a rework of that language in the footnote that puts an onus that the chair will take over and work with the dissenting person to investigate whether there is, support for this minority view in order that an appeal could be filed or something to that matter. So that, in other words, the onus doesn't fall on the complaining party to do any more than to raise the concern, and then the chair. But I would want them involved in it and kept involved in it so that they felt like the chair was serving the purpose of really investigating, rather than saying, okay, and then sort of doing a light touch and not really looking into it. So I would want the party that raises the issue to be involved in the process. They just don't have to drive the process.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
I think Aubrey's got hand up.
Yeah.
She's having mouth problems. Where are you in the world today?
I'm actually at home. It's disturbing.
Okay, Aubrey.
I'm confused. I think that the several participants, as was spoken, was a game. I think it's good to have that if there's a single person that has an issue, I think putting that just in the working group chair's hands may be a problem if what they're disagreeing with is just a working group, is the working group chair's decision. And so if we want to do the single person alarm raise, I don't think we should change that it has to be several participants to get it moving, but I think perhaps a phrase that obligates the working group chair on the calling of even a single person questioning their view to put out a message basically explaining the protest and asking for others to weigh in. So if they're obliged to do at least that, because otherwise, if we really do want to allow the single shy individual to get this in without allowing for the gaming possibility of the single pesky individual like myself, you know, being able to start a protest all by myself, then we have to probably stick some fixed obligation on the part of a chair to sort of on getting the shy one to put the question to the group and see whether there are five others.
Well, why don't we do this? Let me do something. Just put up some proposed language on that point that sort of handles Tim's concern. And still, Aubrey, I think you're capturing, and that's sort of what I was maybe it's not so eloquently saying, that what you've just described is what I meant.
Okay, sorry.
And so, I think we should also expand it to be not only the chair, it could be the liaison that did this. So that in the instance they feel the chair has been abusive or problematic or something, that they don't have to necessarily go to the chair. They could go to the liaison as well, to give them more flexibility.
I was going to raise that, too. I think that's a good addition because it could be
the chair's the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good
point. What we don't want to do is have people bullied. And, you know, you run into those situations. And so giving more flexibility for them to have an outlet to feel like they have redress does nothing but give, I think, the system more credibility.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so let me summarize where we are, and then I think we could end this call early. And I think we've made some great progress and could probably even have a short meeting on Sunday, if this works as well as this conversation has been going. So on the four issues that were raised, on the liaison neutrality, that's done. There's we're not going to be doing anything, although Jay Scott will speak to it a little bit when talking about the report about the difference in the role of liaison versus the chair. On the issue of definition of consensus, the issues that the registries had raised, the solution is going to be to drop that second sentence from the definition of consensus, drop it into a footnote with the rest of the explanatory language, a little bit modified because of where it is. But essentially that language that Aubrey had crafted, that'll be put into the footnote. On the issue of determining level of consensus and anonymity, Jay Scott's going to propose some language that reflects what we all kind of agreed to on this call and propose that to the PPSC in line with what the discussions were. And on the same thing on the last issue of who may question a consensus call, based out of this discussion, Jay Scott's going to draft a little bit of clarification language on the points that were discussed, including making some sort of requirement when an issue is raised of the chair and or liaison, depending on the situation, take action or investigate, I should say, instead of take action, but investigate and make sure that the questions are being heard and the issues are being raised. Given that, I think...
Jeff, I have a couple of things I'd like to ask. One is, I would ask that Marika, if you could do a short summary of this call and post it to the working team list.
Let me ask if Marika's still on, because she dropped off Adobe.
Yeah, I'm still on. I think we're having some internet connectivity issues, so I'm off the Adobe, but I'm still on the phone.
Okay,
and I'm happy to draft a short
just short summary for the working team list so that they know where we ended up.
Okay,
and
I'll use the issues identified and highlight
yes.
what
yes.
the group here decided to do on
yes.
each of those.
Yes, and Jeff, I plan to try to get this language circulated in the next couple of days, and I will include PPSC and the working team.
Yes.
All involved so that we get as many eyes on this as possible before we meet in Cartagena.
Right. I think that's a good idea, and definitely before the Sunday meeting. I think I'm
absolutely.
Saturday meeting,
I'm not. That's more informational than it is, as I take it. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's just a general presentation of the council as to where we
right.
are. And I'm assuming all these other issues that we kind of talked about before the recording started may be raised.
Right.
Which will, you know, take the conversation in a different place than we probably want to go.
All I can say is we're really, really close, guys.
Yeah, I think you're right. On the working group stuff, we are. I think I'm the PDK.
Well, I know. I'm talking about on this project. I think we're really, really close. And I think that we need to get this stuff out so that a lot of people feel like they've got some sort of general guidelines. And so I'm really pumped to get this stuff done.
Yep.
This is Marika. If I can just ask a question on the presentation, do people want to take out, as one of the outstanding issues, at least the liaison neutrality as we address that one, and just highlight then the three other ones at those still being under consideration?
I think you can leave it in there, and I will say in my presentation that this has been handled on a call.
Okay.
And explain then. That way the information gets out there, and I have a cue already in the slide.
Okay, great.
Yep. And Aubrey's got a question.
Yeah, I've got a question, I guess, follows on what Jay Scott was saying. What is the end game now for this? I mean, is this now with having agreed to language for the final open issues and assuming that the work team, which would, you know, I expect will just say, yeah, that's fine. What happens next? Is it now ready for council vote and you know,
so,
being put into place, or does it have an extra review?
My goal and I would like to basically have the PPSC approve this in Cartagena, approve the final report with the additions that we've made, the changes, and then have that in Cartagena sent to the council. Now, maybe actually the delivery of the report, we'll actually have to wait until afterwards, but essentially deliver it to the council for them to decide, you know, what to do with it, whether to approve it. So it won't come up for a vote for approval by the council at this meeting. But I can't say whether the council is going to want to put this out for comment again or whether they're just going to want to, at the next meeting in January, vote on it.
This is Marika. Could I make a comment?
Please.
Yeah, let me just, Aubrey, had a second, another question? Or
well, what I was looking for is could we actually, like many groups do, couldn't the PPSC say it's been through, you know, the following 17 steps and just suggest a motion that then you, as both, you know, chair of PPSC and member of council, can put forward for January voting and actually suggest a path to the council?
Yeah, I will definitely suggest, assuming we can approve this on Sunday, at our meeting, the PPSC meeting, I will definitely suggest that path forward as a council member and the chair of the PPSC at this meeting, you know, during the council meeting itself. I believe there's a slot allotted for me to do a report on the status and where things are with both this group and the PDP work team, and so I will take those occasions to strongly recommend that that they proceed in January to vote and approve these. I will also...
Could I comment on that, Jeff?
Yes.
This is Marika, because I would like to point out that the changes that have been made by the working group work team and now have been reviewed by the PPSC actually haven't been reviewed by the community at large, because we didn't do another round of public comment based on the changes that have been made following the last version. And also to point out that the practice has been from the council as well in relation to the OSC procedures or the different elements that, that those work teams produce to put those out first for public comment before actually voting on them. So I would like the PPC to take that into consideration and maybe recommending, and that might be something that could happen directly following the Cartagena meeting, to put it out for public comment to see indeed if there's still any issues that people identify based on the changes that have been made or issues that maybe are not addressed before the council actually takes a vote on it.
I think that it, you know, personally, all I want to do is see it move forward in the process. So if that's the process, Jeff, I would suggest we just follow the normal process so we don't get gummed up in any process arguments. Just say, you know, we think it's ready, we recommend it, we would like it to go to public comment. As soon as the public comment cleared, we would like it to be put on the first agenda after close of public comment and to be considered by the council. And just push it through the process.
Yep, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I just don't want anything to argue about process. This is a good piece of work. People have put in a lot of time over the last 18 months. Marika has killed herself, and I just want to get this damn thing out there.
Yes, I think that sounds good. So let's.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I am totally in favor of community reviews. I don't know how many we actually need to do. If we've done a community review, which we've done, and a report comes out with the thing saying, and these are the changes made in response to community review, which I understand has also been approved, I don't know how often one needs to recycle that. So if we do another community review and there's another response and we change it once again, do we go out for yet another community review? You know, these are guidelines. So I'm just sort of saying let's think about the fact that whether we actually do need one, which just prolongs things further. I tend to think that we've already done it and we've already satisfied that process requirement. And so I'm not sure where an additional one, the need for it actually comes from. So, yeah, community reviews are always a good thing, like apples and pie and all that good stuff.
Thanks. Yeah, so let's discuss this further on Sunday. The reason why I'm a little bit reluctant is we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but in the end it's really the council's decision.
Yes, I agree.
And maybe it's just as simple as saying, you know, our opinion is that these issues have all gone out for public comment, and all we're doing is responding to those. So let's discuss tactics further on Sunday, with the first goal of getting this whole thing approved and up to the council.
Works.
And then we could kind of talk about strategy and other items. All right.
So absolutely.
With that said, I want to wish everyone a safe trip down there or over there, depending on where you're coming from.
I'll see everybody in the dark bar on Monday night.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.